Good morning, 7:39 News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Great to have you with us. Joining us by phone, we have Mike Wood, the Public Information Officer for the Pensacola Police Department. Mike, welcome back, sir.
Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning. So I know we don't want to say it out loud too much, but we've had, several weeks now where low incident of high interest, high news crimes, which is good, right? We celebrate that, right?
Yeah, what we talk about mostly on these shows is major crimes, and we've been it's been a while since I've had anything to talk about, which is a great problem to have. There's lots of other cities our size and even smaller that have no problem coming up with radio content on a weekly basis.
Right.
So it's a great problem to have.
I will take it. It's certainly a good thing. One of the things you have seen is an uptick in e-bike and e-scooter thefts. Is that right?
Yeah, we have. So if you've an e-scooter, an electronic bicycle, anything electronic, you need to keep an eye on it, put it up. Some of these cables that people are using to secure them to bicycle racks are just not good enough anymore. These people that are going around looking for these bikes specifically have cutters that will cut right through these cables. So there needs to be a better way to secure those, thicker chains maybe, or putting them inside. And certainly another thing that would help is to put a tracker on them. So we have seen an uptick in those thefts lately.
Are the I know that the cable feels secure, but it's not. What about those, like, Master Lock U, the big black bar-type locks, the two-piecers? You know what I'm talking about? They're like a like a club for your bike.
Yes, that's better. Anything that's thick that would be difficult for someone with a device that would cut through cable or chain. I mean, if a person wants it bad enough, there's plenty of things you can get at a hardware store that's going to cut right through it. But the thicker it is, the better it's built. It's going to take more time to do that.
And this is interesting to me because this is in contrast with when we talk about cars. The advice is locking your car is enough. They're not going to bother breaking the window when there are unlocked cars to go to. But when it comes to a $600,000-$700,000 e-bike or something like that, they're willing to go to the trouble instead of going to the next one to try to find one that's unsecured. Is that right?
Well, yeah, there's a difference there because we preach to lock your cars because they're not looking to steal the car itself. They're looking to steal what's inside of it. So, with the bikes, obviously they're going to steal the whole thing,
yeah.
And they're out looking for these. There's a market, there's a market to sell those. So, there's a bit of a difference there on why people are stealing e-bikes versus getting into cars.
I know this is not related to that, but you got me thinking about this all of a sudden. Do we have e-bikes or scooters for the police? I know we have bike cops, but is that a mode of transportation that you guys use or are thinking about using for, like downtown or at events or anything like that?
Yes, we do. In fact, we've got one, a huge one out at the airport. I was just out there working last night and was looking at that thing. And I got to tell you, I'm not going to get on it anytime soon. It's hard to call them a bicycle anymore with the size of them, the size of the frame, the size of the tires. And
yeah.
But the answer to that question is yes, the PPD does employ e-bikes.
I look at these things and, I'm a traditional bicycle rider and, of course, a driver. I find the e-bikes very frustrating because they don't quite go fast enough to be regular traffic, but they often pretend like they're regular traffic and they're often not in the bike lane, not on the sidewalk, that kind of thing. Have we seen incidents because of that, or are people basically just taking account of it and driving around them safely? It seems to be all the time now, by the way.
Yeah, we haven't seen a real big problem with it. It was
okay.
The same thing when we had the scooters come to town.
Sure.
There was initially an issue with that, but most of the people on bicycles and e-bikes are maintaining lanes and going by the law. Of course, you're always going to have people that don't. And when we see that, we will stop and educate people.
And the safest rule is give them 3 feet, right? That's the basic, is you got to give somebody 3 feet if you're going to pass them. And you can't always pass them. Sometimes you just can't. When it comes to, I know they've been, Channel 3 has been featuring the story. Studio 850 has been doing the story a lot on the school zone speed cameras in Fort Walton. I actually saw those myself about a month ago, and I didn't think a lot of it at the time. But I guess they just went active. We do have the buses have do not pass me cameras on them in Escambia County, or at least we're implementing that. But we don't have anything like this in Escambia. Is it something that you guys are looking at as a possibility?
Not at this point. That's something that could be in the future, but not at this point. Right now, we're concentrating on the red light cameras. Those are labor intensive as far as having officers look at each and every event to see whether it was an actual violation or not.
Right.
And if we went to speed cameras, which again, that could happen sometime in the future, but that again is something that an officer will have to look at each and every violation. So at this point, no.
General assessment. I know passing school buses is an amazing problem. It is bizarre to me how many people do this on the right, on the left, all over. Anyway, how much of a problem in the city of Pensacola is speeding in school zones?
Oh, it's a problem. It is a problem, and especially when school first starts or when they come back from vacation or any time of any kind of break. But yeah, that's an issue that we deal with. We have a traffic unit that goes and concentrates on those areas at different times, and it's surprising how many people will fly through a school zone or pass a school bus, which is an extremely dangerous thing to do.
Mike, I don't know how familiar you are with this incident that took place up on Highway 97, where an ECUA truck was driving north and turning left onto a cross street in a two-lane, like a highway with dotted lines, basically, a rural highway. And a semi came behind him, passed him on the left while the ECUA truck was turning, and the ECUA, and they collided, and one person was injured pretty badly, but the ECUA truck driver, the trash truck driver, actually got cited for somebody hitting him, coming behind him, and on the left. Now, I know you're not FHP, but I know you know the law. And as I read the law, you have to yield to a car coming behind you and passing you on the left if they're legally allowed to do that. This seems insane to me. Can you explain this, or am I wrong about the law?
No. I mean, you have to, anytime you're making a left turn, you have to make sure that you're not cutting in front of somebody that's coming at you. And if a vehicle is allowed to pass you, like on a dotted line, you have to also make sure there's nobody coming around you. And I can see an issue with this is because people will, they see that it's a garbage truck and they constantly pass them every day because they're on their route. They're constantly stopping and people going around them. So, again, I don't know exactly what happened in this case, but I can imagine if the driver of the log truck thought this vehicle maybe making a pickup or whatnot, decided to pass him. But either way, before you can make a left-hand turn, you've got to make sure you're clear to do so, both in front and behind you.
Okay, I actually see that scenario, and certainly with a trash truck, it's a little bit unique because he might have been going slow and making pickups or whatever, and I agree with you. People pass trash trucks all the time on the left. But I'm thinking not so much for the trash truck scenario, but like me as a driver. If I'm on some highway and I'm turning left, or maybe there's cars behind me that are waiting. I mean, if they go on the right, that's normal. It may or may not be legal, but it's at least normal and it's not going to produce a collision. But if I'm waiting to turn left and somebody just decides, I'm sick of waiting for this slowpoke, and they decide to pass me on the left as I'm preparing to turn with my signal on, that's my fault if they hit me?
Now that's a different issue. That vehicle's trying to make a left turn, so you can't just pass them on the left in that situation. That's why I brought up the trash truck. I can maybe imagine why a pass on the left was happening in that particular situation.
Okay.
But either way, you still, as an operator of a motor vehicle, you've got to make sure that you're clear all the way around before you make a left turn. So seeing a situation, if it was a passenger vehicle, how that could be certainly be a different situation.
Yeah, I mean, that's the part that I just can't wrap my brain around. I mean, I've been driving for 38 years. It never occurred to me that when I'm making a left turn on a rural highway, that I need to check behind me to make sure some doofus isn't going to try to pass me on the left because he's got the right of way. Like that, what? That can't be right, you know?
You're not. You can't pass a vehicle on the left that's stopped trying to make a left turn. That's a totally different situation.
Okay, because I actually got told by FHP when I followed up on this that a turn signal is a request, not a right. And
I can see that
in certain circumstances, but when I'm turning and somebody's coming behind me, it feels like a right that they don't have to run into me from behind. But okay, all right. So I'm glad to know that it's not quite as bad as I thought it was. We always like to end with a cop myth or a did you know. Do you have one for me this week?
Yeah, this is about online reports. A lot of departments have gone to this over the past few years, including the Pensacola Police Department, and there are some incidents that cannot be reported online. And the reason we brought this on to begin with is to make things faster for the people that have had issues, and also it keeps our patrol officers on other calls, not answering these minor issues. So if it's a felony, you cannot report it online, such as a sexual assault or a battery where you know who the suspect is. Those things cannot be reported online. What can be reported are minor thefts and maybe some fraud, things like that. So if you know who the person is, if your loss is more than $750, which makes it a felony, these are reasons why you cannot report online. You must have an officer come out. Also, if there's evidence, if your car was broken into and there may be fingerprints on the car, you don't want to report that online. An officer needs to come out and look for evidence and process that car. So there are some things that if you're in doubt, you can always call dispatch. They can let you know what's reportable online and what is not.
Very good. Mike Wood is the public information officer for the Pensacola Police Department. As always, Mike, thanks for the time, helping us understand the law better and keeping us safe. I appreciate it. We'll talk to you next week.
Thank you.